Of power as we know it on trial. There's a new film that seeks to do just that, looking at the history of political power, scandal, and the vision of some of the most well-known leaders in the world and how they shaped it. Jason Burmes is a radio host and filmmaker and is behind a new movie that we're talking about right now. It's called The Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. Hey there, Jason. I just checked out the trailer for your film, and it looks like you've strung together a lot of historical footage, many of it former U.S. presidents talking about the need for a new world order. Talk about this concept and what it means to you.
Well, throughout history, men of power have sought to bring together the world under one government, and they've called this the New World Order. Whether it be Hitler during World War II or George Bush after the Gulf War, they all seem to use this terminology. So I decided to explore that and see what a New World Order really was and try to define that term.
And what did you find?
Well, I found that through organizations such as the Council on Foreign Relations, the Royal Institute for International Affairs, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, and many others, they have consolidated power on a mass level and are moving towards a world government. You're seeing this more and more with events like the G20 calling for a world currency and SDR units as the new reserve currency. So I'm really out to expose this agenda to not only the American people, but the world.
I understand that you did also some work on the film Loose Change 9/11, which challenges what the authorities have said about 9/11 and identifies some of the main points of what's now becoming the 9/11 truth movement. Does the Invisible Empire deal with this issue at all?
Well, absolutely. Actually, my last film, Fabled Enemies, exposed the International Intelligence Organization surrounding 9/11. Instead of focusing on the anomalies at the World Trade Center, at WTC-7 or Shanksville, we exposed the Saudi Arabian, the Pakistani, the Israeli and shadow government connections, and are now taking this a step further with Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined. And this will be premiering at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv April 15th for the world to see.
And as you just mentioned, you're releasing it on Infowars and Prison Planet. Did you try at all to get this released on the big screen or to get some investors to back you so it could become more well-known by the public?
Well, to be honest with you, I've tried to go that route before, and it can be an extremely difficult process. And with my films being seen by tens of millions of people online for free, that gets the message out. And we encourage people to take our films, make copies, and hand them out, because this is not about money. This is about getting the information to the public so that we can try to restore the Constitution and Bill of Rights in this country. This is to oppose tyranny, not to make a profit.
I'm curious about Invisible Empire itself. Give me some of the specifics, the premise, and what you hope viewers will get out of it.
Well, a lot of times when people use the term New World Order, you're already into the conspiracy arena. And I literally have over 200 prominent people discussing that very term. So I want to shatter the image of what a New World Order means and really put out the facts, the truth about this agenda. And that's what I've done in this film, not only going over their organizations, but also their modes of control, such as assassination and false flag terror.
You were contrasting, I noticed, especially in the trailer, some leaders. For example, you had Hitler in there. You also had, President Kennedy, President Bush. Talk a little bit about, you seem to be arguing that there's sort of a congruent message between these leaders.
Well, I don't think that I put Kennedy in a negative light. Kennedy warned us that secret societies and backdoor dealings were a major problem during his presidency, and we know where that led to, his assassination. So when we have a person like George Bush espousing a new world order under the United Nations and global governance, and then on the other side of the supposed spectrum, we have people like Al Gore calling for the same exact thing and Bill Clinton calling for the same exact thing. In this film, you'll see Bill Clinton talk about a new world order, not once but twice. So really, I want to expose this, like you said, congruent agenda for world government.
All right, Jason Burmes, thanks so much for giving us that inside look on your upcoming film. Comes out, Invisible Empire, comes out April 15th.
You are watching a master.
Yeah! Yeah!
Enough turning you to murder you. This is what the fuck I do.
And good morning, CKLN listeners. It is the 16th day of March, 2010. You are listening to CKLN Rude Awakening here on 88.1 CKLN FM and CKLN.FM online, Rogers Cable Box 947. This is your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays here on CKLN Radio, broadcasting out of Ryerson University in Toronto, Canada. And here on Rude Awakening on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, I do try and break down the New World Order, which you heard Jason Burmes talk about on Russia Today, Russia's major television network. And they do a ton of great work exposing the global warming fraud, 9/11 fraud, the New World Order. It really does appear that at this point, Russia is trying to desperately avoid World War III, whereas it seems that's all that the powers that be in charge of us are pushing for. So definitely a couple of things to do here on the radio Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursday mornings. If you have any suggestions for what you think I should be doing, please do email me at blackkrishna, BlackKrishna at gmail.com. Hey, make up a fake email address and use a public computer, and no one will know that you're sending me little tips here as I proceed to dry snitch on the New World Order. That's right. Yeah, authors like John DeCamp, who was the author of the Franklin cover-up, again, pedophile scandal in Nebraska, I've talked about for the last few weeks, through the 80s and early 90s, arguably still going on today. That extends to the highest reaches of power in the United States and worldwide, international satanic pedophile cults running the world, networking together, compromising politicians to make sure they're under the control of the New World Order. Various intelligence agencies arrange this, and a bit more detail on that coming up in this show as well. But the reason I bring that up is that John DeCamp wrote about this stuff, the craziest stuff like ever, and sourced it well. John DeCamp was former senator, state senator from Nebraska, and he was a former lawyer, and considered exceptionally competent at his job, exceptionally dedicated, a guy who could break bread with you or beat the hell out of you in the legislature. And yet, as soon as he started getting into the Franklin issues and the issues of satanic pedophile guilds or cults running the world, he was seen as crazy, a crank or whatever in some circles, although he did prove that he wasn't in many cases. So that's John DeCamp. Bottom line, John DeCamp knew some dangerous stuff, did some dangerous stuff. His buddy William Colby was former head of the CIA. And what Mr. Colby suggested to Mr. DeCamp was that write a book. Tell everybody everything you know. Because, and this is the former head of the CIA who used to kill people, and William Colby ran Operation Phoenix in Vietnam, where they killed lots of people. The plan was to assassinate top North Vietnamese leaders as part of the campaign from the South. Although, of course, Colby was being played, like everybody in the Vietnam War, is being played by the New World Order, the powers that be at the top of the whole thing who want to keep the conflict going. Okay, so you got John DeCamp digging up some crazy stuff, investigating the Franklin cover-up, the highest politicians and elected officials and bureaucrats and FBI's offices and sheriff's offices. They're all implicated in this. And his buddy at the CIA says, yeah, you know what? You should write a book. Tell everything. Say everything. Say everything. Tell everything you know. And the reason that Mr. Colby suggested that to his friend Mr. DeCamp is because then there'd be no reason to do you in. There'd be no money in it. There'd be no silence in it. It would only give your material more credibility. So put it all out there. So this is a message out there to everybody who's in the in the world, but more specifically, who's in the position to have some knowledge that they're scared of sharing. If you have knowledge that you're scared of sharing because, you know, you might be harmed in some way, if you don't share it, you might be harmed in some way, to keep that knowledge from getting out there. So it's important to break down these ideas. Do have a show here. I'm gonna break down a couple of things here. The Metro is fresh in my hand here, and there's no internet here. Feds quietly pinch programs used by libraries and groups. And it says here in the article, the conservative government is quietly cutting funding to hundreds of community groups and even hospitals that provide free internet access to Canadians who might not otherwise have a chance to get it. Organizations that benefit from the Industry Canada 16-year-old community access program began receiving letters last week informing them that sites located within 25 kilometers of a public library would no longer be eligible for cash. Groups have been receiving between $4,000 and $5,000 a year to buy computers and other hardware, such as printers, wireless routers to pay for technical support, skills training, and sometimes pay for connecting bills. Organizations that have used the program include employment and youth drop-in centers, English as second language programs, libraries, and seniors groups. In rural areas, such organizations are often clustered in the middle of town and near the local library, meaning they are the most likely to be hit by the change in funding criteria. Ouch! 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 A shot to our ENADS here in Canada, because it just the headline of the article says, shh, there's no internet here, sort of being a play on being in a library and saying this, and it says here. In the little sidebar to the article, to the mini article, details of the cuts did not appear on Industry Canada's website or in the recent federal budget documents, which had been touting the government's new work on a, quote, digital economy strategy. The Conservatives are spending $200 million on expanding broadband coverage to underserved households in Canada. Ah, there you go. There you go. It's all our money here. And when they say they're screwing our most vulnerable to generally expand broadband access, and we all think, well, maybe our internet will be a little faster later, we can live live with it. And this is how they do it. Now, I got to be honest here. This is, it's good to report this stuff. And I do pick on the mass media. I do call it the Metro sodomy when I do take shots at the Metro on occasion. But there are some good people working in there. They're just working in a culture where they have to reflect a certain bias. And Tom Wicker, journalist for the New York Times, veteran political correspondent, said that objectivity in journalism, objectivity, the desire for journalists to be objective, objectivity is advocacy for the status quo. That's again Tom Wicker from the New York Times. And what he meant by that in a nutshell, this is quoted to me by Barry Zwicker, veteran legendary journalist, journalism professor, and 9/11 truther as one of the founding members of SIFT, Skeptics Inquiry for Truth, that held the second ever international conference on 9/11 here in Toronto after the one in San Francisco in 2004. So Barry Zwicker was interviewed on our CKLN radio show, brought this up to my co-host Mark Bills and I at the time. And he made the point that, look, if you're gonna be objective in this system, then you're gonna do things that are quote unquote objectively right by the way this system works. So if the system says, you know, Anna Nicole Smith dies, 3 weeks of nonstop coverage, or Michael Jackson for that matter, or any other celebrity, and then they say, yeah, war in Iraq, yeah, forget about that. It kind of depresses people. We really don't want to talk about that. The audience isn't kind of in the mood for it. Then that's just how they roll. So even this catchy headline, which may have been produced by the editor, it's hard to know. It's from the Canadian Press Files, and then it's rearranged by the Metro. Shh, there's no internet here. It's one of those things that kind of sticks in your craw. And there's tons of stuff like this. This is our media gives us information. By the way, Canada, you're screwed. By the way, Canada, your taxes are going up. I just got a word at the business where I work on Queen Street, where a guy came in and said, yeah, there's new smart meters reading your electricity bills. And so they're going to go from, like, you know, 4 cents, you know, a kilowatt hour or something to 9 cents. But, and because you guys are open during peak time, but if you sign up for this program, you can guarantee it at 7 cents. These numbers are approximate, but basically the numbers, and we got to lock in for a few years. And I asked the guy, I said, wait a minute, the government installed these smart readers last year at every business and most homes, and now you're telling me that these smart readers can't read our actual internet usage? Like, these are smart readers, right? These are smart readers. They're supposed to read things smartly, a scanner smartly, as it were. And so why would we be locked into a contract where we're paying a flat rate if these smart readers can read exactly what we're using for and we pay for only what we use? And, you know, his answer as a nice Cuban guy was, that's the government. And I didn't pick on him too much, but made it clear that, hey, man, anything here that sounds really crazy is not my issue. But yeah, I'm gonna actually break down a couple of details like that. But there's a bunch of clips I want to play on this show, so I'd like to get to one right now. This is Nick Bryant on the Franklin scandal. I've played John DeCamp. I've played him on Bonnie Faulkner's Guns and Butter radio show on the Pacifica Network. I'd now like to play Nick Bryant. This is another author of a new book called The Franklin Scandal. This is an interview from WBAI from September 2009, where he's going to break down exactly what the Franklin scandal is. If you folks don't know what it is, have no fear. It's the type of thing that we have to learn about to stop before it ends up catching up to us. So here it is, Nick Bryant versus the Franklin scandal on WBAI from September 2009.
Are our politicians, businessmen, and media personalities being compromised? Is there a covert check and balance system affecting our body politic? How and why does a nationwide child abuse network stay hidden? And what about the children? These are some of the questions that the Franklin scandal addresses. The name of the book is The Franklin Scandal, a story of power brokers, child abuse, and betrayal. The author is in the studio with me this afternoon, Nick Bryant. Welcome to Talk Back into WBAI.
It's good to be here, Michael.
Thank you very much for coming in and bringing this to us. It's a very disturbing video that we watched. This is a trailer to this book. It's an over 600-page book, and the book is published by Trine Day out in California. Is that right?
Oregon.
Oregon, Trine Day Publishers in Oregon. As I said, it's a very disturbing visions that you and I watched, and certainly other folks can watch that as well. But the book, The Franklin Scandal, give an overview of The Franklin Scandal for us, if you will.
The Franklin Scandal is probably the darkest nonfiction book that someone will ever read, or certainly one of the darkest nonfiction books that someone will ever read. It was about a nationwide pedophile network that flew kids from coast to coast and pandered them to the rich and powerful. The network operated mostly in the 1980s, and it flew kids. I've got like about 175 of the network's flight receipts, and most of the kids, or most of the receipts, show that the kids were flown to Washington, D.C., and they were pandered to various politicians, power brokers, and affluent businessmen. And the allegations started to surface that this network existed. The epicenter of this pedophile network was in Nebraska. It operated out of Omaha, Nebraska. And allegations of this network started to surface. It was covered up initially. The first kids that came forward were from the social services system. Yeah. And that was squelched almost immediately. The local and federal police said that they investigated the allegations, but actually, only one of the kids that came forward was interviewed once. And then what happened was, as more and more revelations started to come out about child abuse in this pedophile network, the FBI came in and the Department of Justice came in with a full-court press and covered up the allegations. They put a lot of pressure on the kids who had been affiliated with the pedophile network to recant. And as my trailer says, one of the kids who refused to recant her abuse. She said she was abused. She'd been abused since she'd been enmeshed in this pedophile network since she was 14. She refused to recant, and she was indicted for perjury by a state grand jury and by a federal grand jury. And she was ultimately given 9 to 15 years for perjury. A girl who was 21 at the time when she was indicted and given 9 to 15 years. And she spent nearly 2 years in solitary confinement. So that sent a very resounding signal to other victims that might come forward that if you don't recant and you want to go on with talking about this pedophile network, this is what's going to happen to you.
Yeah. Hey. Motherfucking business is, nigga. Yeah, all you hating ass niggas want to sneak this, nigga.
Sneak this.
That shit ain't gonna get your own, it's gonna get you hurt, nigga. If you a hater and you know it, fuck you. Y'all none rapping ass bitches. I'd rather listen to your instrumentals, nigga. Bitch ass nigga. Do something, nigga. CT. I'm here now. You old news.
We're back, CKLN listeners. That was again Nick. That was again Nick Bryant against the Franklin Scandal, breaking it down in a nutshell for you. The victim, Alicia Owens, she refused to recant. Another victim, Troy Boner, was actually pressured by the FBI into recanting and basically messing up the testimony of a couple of his fellow child victims who decided to come forward in Nebraska. And, you know, I gotta say, I do play
all the gangsters, they gon' ride to this, they gon' grind to this, they gon' shine to this. Hey, this is gangster music, yeah. This is gangster music, yeah. This is gangster music, yeah. This is gangster music.
I do play gangster music here on this show because it gets me going. I'm hoping that even if this is not your usual forte, it gets you going at least temporarily within the context. Because I got to tell you, I was, you know, and when you know this giant satanic pedophile cult rings running the world, you know, and they're doing stuff to kids, and they're doing stuff to kids in your city, in your country, on your planet, and they're dehumanizing us all to accept this more and more. You look at barely legal porn sites, that's, oh yeah, she's 18, barely legal, woohoo. Well, hey, what are they trying to sell us? They're basically trying to sell us pedophilia, because with respect to pornography, you've always got to go for harder and harder core stuff, and once you get to barely legal, well, the next stage is, well, not legal. As if 18 in today's immature culture should necessarily be legal to film and sell someone having sex. But again, this is the point. We're living in a changing world. Our values are changing, and as a result of that, we are more inclined than ever to sort of accept that bad things are going on, thanks to a culture that promotes a celebration of a lot of evil. And so, with respect to this, you know, I was listening to some hip hop yesterday. I do check out some Canadian rappers once in a while, and I do try and play a few on the show. I'm not gonna air anybody out here on the air. It's just not my style. When I mean dry snitching, I mean dry snitching. I'm snitching on principles, the wrong ones, and I'm trying to think of and posit some right ones. And so you got these guys here across the world in hip hop, especially talking about, you know, violence and how they deal guns and how they, you know, leave bodies everywhere and they'll put a hole in you and make your shirt red and do all this crazy stuff. And I'm just thinking as I'm listening to this, just because I'm thinking these days, I didn't used to do that much. But hey, I like smoking and other stuff. It's addictive. And so I'm thinking, and it's been said before, so I'm not the first who's thought of this, but you can't be talking that much smack and doing that much smack, or you'd be in jail, you know? I can't be saying, I got the biggest guns, I leave a hole in you, and all that stuff, and then actually be doing that stuff. Because if I do that stuff and I rap about it, well, somebody's going to hear about it and I'm eventually going to get locked up. Maybe you could talk about how you did it a while ago, like Young Jeezy, who we're currently hearing, is doing. Or you could talk about, or you could even talk about how, you know, you're being metaphorical and you're just a bad MC. But a lot of these cats want to be taken real, real seriously, throwing up gang this and gang that. And so I'm just going to suggest to them, look, you know, any rats in a trap can slit each other's throats in their sleep. You know, it's nothing. A 5-year-old and a 55-year-old are equally dangerous with a gun. You know, you don't know what either one's going to do, but if the 5-year-old pulls that trigger, you're dead. 55-year-old does, you're dead. And so all the street beefing, you know, all the taking out, you know, people on your block, all that ish, it's like, what's the point? So instead of being, you know, rats in a trap who slit each other's throats while we sleep, perhaps we should consider instead figuring out how to get out of this trap and how not to be rats. And so, nothing against anyone's steez. I know what world we're in. You know, I can't utter a sentence and then change hip hop culture overnight. Although I'm working on a lyric. but the point is that you know, there is that to consider out there. If you are going to be hard, if you are going to be a badass, to what end? To financial ends? Sure, I get that. To girls? Sure, I get that too. They're looking better and better than ever, and they're trying harder and harder to. But at the same time, there is a bigger context going on where you can use that kind of gangster energy, that kind of gangster balls, that kind of gangster Mac and swag, to actually take on the real gangsters in the world. I'm staring at what looks to be like a 5-6-year-old here. March break, ready, aim, fun. Samantha Scott, 4, takes her turn using a bow and arrow yesterday in the medieval section at the Royal Ontario Museum. Test your wits while exploring an eerie revamped bat cave, or meet a samurai and suit up for war in medieval armor at the ROM, with activities taking place daily during March breaks. So there you go. Bring your kids to the ROM and show your kids have a little bit of fun. But I gotta tell you out there, you know, I'm losing my mind here, especially with guys, you know, I broke this down, gender relationships a while ago, and why I think it's a man's prerogative to take on these issues. Any man between 25 and 45, I just think it's on you, and I am backing down on that, and you're not backing me off on it, because it makes too much sense. Others, welcome, of course, younger, older, ladies, kids, seniors, whatever. You can jump in if you want, but if you don't want to, I understand. I understand. And when I see a guy, when I see a young good-looking couple, or when I see a guy there pushing a stroller, I feel like tackling him. I feel like just tackling him. Football, just running and tackling him and just getting him on the ground and stopping him and shoving a handful of vaccine exemption forms and flyers in his pocket and saying, you got to look into this. You had a kid. You got to look into this. I haven't done it yet, but, certainly an option. There's a couple of things. But look, what's happened? Where did our values go? Why do we just accept things and this is what we're wearing now. Oh, we're showing our butts now, according to American Apparel, while wearing our pants, and that's the new style or whatever, like skin. And one of the reasons is that we've moved away from religion. Now, this isn't a religious show, and you'll hear Alex Jones say that on this clip with filmmaker Christian Pinto. But religious principles can give us some good advice. And if stuff I say sounds a bit like that as your radio evangelist here on CKLN, Mr. Christian Pinto and Mr. Alex Jones will explain what's happened with religion, particularly the Catholic religion, and the attacks on religion worldwide by the Jesuits.
He, of course, ran in 1984 as a low-budget grassroots campaign for Congress, despite being outspent 7-1 by an incumbent Republican.
That's not it. Sorry about that, folks. Wrong clip. Where's my Pinto? Where's my Pinto? Well, that's never happened before.
The establishment wants to play people off against each other. And, I don't have a religious broadcast. I have a news and history show. And I watched Lamp in the Dark before we carried it, when they asked us to carry it. And I found it to be very accurate from my research, so we carry it. At the same time, though, I have seen kind of the Christian Zionist arm that's also Illuminist, saying we've got to have the end of the world, we've got to support Israel no matter what, and then they always put out an anti-Catholic view and claim the Catholic Church wants to run Jerusalem and do all this stuff. I mean, it's very sophisticated, and I've been studying it and trying to understand it, and I think that Chris Pinto with A Lamp in the Dark has really done a good job of breaking this down. But, I mean, going back to some of the issues, though, that I just raised here, that's why I believe in what our founding fathers did, saying freedom of religion. That's not what the UN and others are calling for. They're saying, no, a one-world religion where you can be whatever religion you want, but you can't criticize any other religion. Chris Pinto.
Yeah, that's the whole point. That's becoming the new Inquisition. There's that case over in England of the Christian couple who witnessed to a Muslim woman. And, the Muslim woman talked about her faith and the Christians talked about their faith. But now the Muslim woman felt like she was being oppressed because the Christians were criticizing Islam. And then they ended up being, suffering a certain amount of persecution over there in England.
They're trying to make it illegal in Canada to read certain Bible verses. And there's all these calls for censorship that are going on, but once you censor one group, you censor everybody. But getting up into the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, when we start seeing the real persecution.
Right. It really began over the reading of the Bible and the preaching of what's written in the Bible. That began the Inquisition. A lot of people don't know that. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to give the history in Lamp. But that's what led to two things. One, it was the establishment of the first police state. If you read some historians, that's what they'll say, that the Inquisition, where you developed a system of informants, you developed a police system that was intercontinental. There were no boundaries for the Inquisition. They could go to any country in Europe and hold people accountable. They were kind of like Interpol or the feds. They could cross any border. That's when they began to outlaw the Bible, and that's why they outlawed the Bible. The Bible became a forbidden book, as it's called in one of the documentaries.
And then we saw things like when they wanted to build the new Vatican building, indulgences, get your family out of purgatory, pay all this gold. And similarly, we see the UN and the EU selling, and Al Gore admits it, a global religion of Gaia, where they go out and persecute everyone and have a new Inquisition.
I think it's the same spirit, the same principles involved, ultimately. It's been going on for centuries and centuries and centuries, and as we show it in our film, we show the Bible, really, and the Word of God, and those who believe it, as the center of controversy and the oppression that that came against them to, you know, forbid anyone from having another opinion. And if you follow that history, it brings you up through, you know, the 19th century into modern times. I believe this has everything to do with why they've kicked the Bible out of our school system, along with prayer and a lot of other things.
Okay, but explain this to me. Explain to me how the Illuminati starts forming, secret societies, Masons, groups that don't like the dominance of the Catholic Church, but then we today see the Catholic Church selling the same things that the Illuminati was selling. So how does that intertwine?
It's a complicated history, and there's you have different people. You have people who believe that the Illuminati was actually formed by the Jesuit order, which was when the Reformation got underway. You have these Bible believers, they're preaching, and then they start, the printing press comes along, and they start, you know, manufacturing Bibles faster than they can be destroyed.
So as a way to control opposition, the Jesuit priest Adam Weishaupt sets it up.
Well, you have the Jesuits were founded to destroy the Reformation, to destroy the Reformers and those who were opposing Rome. Okay, so they launched a counter-Reformation, and they started getting into academics, and they tried to do it that way. But what was happening was they weren't having success in persuading people to come back to Rome. And a lot of countries were being converted to, they were becoming Protestant countries, and they were casting off the authority of the Pope. See, because the Pope was a very political figure. If the Pope told a king or a queen or whoever what to do, they were supposed to do it. And the Pope was telling people, go and invade that other country, and you kill those people over there, and I give you the command. And if you don't obey me, I'll excommunicate you, and your soul will be in hell. This is what was going on during the Dark Ages. So more and more countries were saying, no, we don't believe this anymore. We don't believe the Pope has the authority to do that. And they were listening to men like Martin Luther and William Tyndale and Calvin and others. And so the Jesuits had to come up with a plan to somehow or other do something about all of these Protestant kings and queens that were opposing them. Now, there's two different views. There are some who believe that the infidels, that infidelity, which is really what the revolutionaries were about, getting rid of God altogether, just rose up in the midst of all this and decided to get rid of Roman Catholicism, get rid of Protestantism, get rid of all of it, and that's what the Illuminati was about. But then there are others, Alex, who believe because the Illuminati was founded at the University of Ingolstadt by a Jesuit named Adam Weishaupt, and he was a Jesuit priest. And he openly stated that he was going to use the methods of revolution and infiltration and information warfare that the Jesuits had been perfecting from Sun Tzu's The Art of War that they brought from China and translated and so on. And if you read authors like F. Tupper Saucy, who wrote the book Rulers of Evil, Saucy believes that the Illuminati is really a front organization for the Jesuit order. And that the Illuminati, because the Jesuits became so nefarious, they were kicked out of 40 countries throughout Europe. They were kicked out of Japan. The name Jesuit was synonymous with Nazi. You know, everybody thought, you know, if you met or knew a Jesuit, you immediately suspected him as a deceiver and a spy or something like that. So they had to do something. And so they developed two mottos, one, above all else, not too much zeal, to be more subtle, and they said, let us shun too much light. Let's not put ourselves out there so that anybody will know who we are. We need to go back into the shadows here. And there are some who believe that Weishaupt was an instrument of the Jesuit order who set up the Illuminati as a front organization that could then infiltrate these secret societies like the Freemasons and others and begin to manipulate them to carry out Rome's thousand-year-old agenda of world domination. When the Jesuits take their oath, for example, they swear in their oath with the Jesuit general. You know, the general tells them, go into all the world and claim all lands in the name of the Pope. He who will not accept him as Christ's vice-regent on earth, let him be accursed and exterminated. And this is why it is said you find Jesuits in every corner of the world with schools and universities and colleges and so on. This is why they have gone into all the world, is to dominate the world for the Pope.
He, of course, ran in 1984 as a low-budget grassroots campaign for Congress, despite being outspent 7-1 by an incumbent Republican, Traficant won handily by 18,000 votes. He'd been reelected 7 times. In 2002, they set him up. It's completely transparent, just like with the governor of Alabama. That's now admitted. They had to release him from prison. It came out it was a complete fraud, a setup. They threatened to put somebody in prison that worked for him, and they didn't lie. Same thing with James Traficant. Mr. Traficant, great to have you here with us.
Well, glad to be on your show, Alex. You've got a great show. I'm sorry I haven't been there so far, but you've really educated the American people for sure.
Well, you've been in solitary confinement and in the concentration camp, so you couldn't come on, but it's great to have you here. Sir, break down what really happened to you for some out there that may not know and why it's so important.
Well, I think what's amazing about the whole ordeal was it was a $15 million investigation over a span of 6 years, over 250 agents, all on or about the time that the Trade Center and the Pentagon were being attacked. The bottom line is the government, and this is the issue now, Alex, that will be coming to bear. The government admitted at trial voluntarily that they made no audio or videotapes on me in 6 years. And the reason they did that, it's evident, is because they had no evidence of any crimes whatsoever. They had no evidence, physical evidence. They had 7 people who were pressured to lie. 4 of them already recanted that they were pressured to lie. And there's a young man in Nigeria who submitted an affidavit to the Nigerian government that his life was ruined because he wouldn't perjure himself in the Traficant case against Traficant for the government. So this thing is going to blow up. I think before it's over, I'm going to get some money out of this, and they're going to pay dearly. I've had it, and I think everybody in Austin is familiar with the term "I've had it" by now.
Well, since you brought that subject up to me when we went to break, what's your bottom line on the attack on the IRS building?
Well, you know, the IRS has become such an agency where they actually have testified, Alex, before Congress, that fear is what produces compliance, voluntary compliance by the American people. And without fear, there can be no collection of taxes. Now, to me, this is an absolute oxymoron in a free republic to hear a statement like that coming from an institution such as the Internal Revenue Service. You know, my particular case is quite documented. I am the congressman that did change the burden of proof in the civil tax case. Before 1998, the taxpayer was guilty and had to prove himself innocent. I was able to change that in the 98 tax bill with the help of a Texan by the name of Bill Archer, the chairman of the Republican chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, and Bill Archer put my language in the conference committee because the IRS had threatened a veto by President Clinton if it had the Traficant language. So I want to give tremendous credit in the state of Texas to that little man. And I think if George W. Bush would have made Bill Archer his Secretary of the Treasury, this country wouldn't be in the fix it's in. But having said that, Alex, the results were dramatic. They did a study 1 year before the bill and 1 year after, and all of the variables dealt basically with the traffic and burden of proof language. Wage garnishment has dropped from $3.1 million to $560,000. Property liens dropped from $670,000 to $160,000. And individual family-owned homes seized by the IRS dropped from 10,070 to 57 homes, Alex, 57 in 50 states. We've got an agency that's out of control. One of my last bills was in tandem with two Republicans, one from Louisiana, Billy Tozan, and one from Colorado. Dan
Congressman
Jacob.
James Traficant, I hate to interrupt you. We've got to go to break, sir. I am going to skip the next break coming up so we have more time. Continue from there after this quick break. Stay with us.
Dre, niggas think we bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. Nigga try me, son, he best had the heat on him. Put mine's close, get them out the street with him. Boy, put your body in the bag. Turn on me, I'm on your ass. I bring money to my
my niggas that bring death to my enemies.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Christian J. Pinto on the Alex Jones Show talking about the role of the Pope and the Vatican and the Jesuits in the New World Order, and how the original Inquisition was based on the fact that people were figuring out what the Bible really meant. They were like, wait a minute, we can't go around killing people and stealing stuff. This is wrong. This is not, the Bible says otherwise. And so the popes went, shut up, get them. And so, you know, the corruption's been going on for some time now. Again, there are competing theories there. And that's why, you know, I don't focus on the top as much, and I certainly don't focus on the top as much of this show. But there are those questions out there. Well, okay, so who's behind it? Is it the Queen? Is it the Pope? Is it the Venetian black nobility? Is it aliens? Is it lizards? And well, you know what? It could be any of those. But the bottom line is, here on the ground level, we can see what's happening. Also, an interview with James Traficant, again from the Alex Jones Radio Show. The Chris Pinto interview was from the 9th of March, 2010. This one was from the 11th of March, 2010, on the Alex Jones Show with James Traficant, former congressman. You heard him describe his career, and again, it seems fairly accurate. And you heard him describe what happened when the burden of proof was on the state to prove you guilty as opposed to yourself to prove yourself innocent, and the state just randomly let levying charges, and how the tables turn, because the state is corrupt and the state is collecting taxes for the people that own and run the state, and that is the New World Order. So, again, yesterday I said occasionally during a transaction, I'll say, you know, are we cool now? We don't owe the Queen any more money, do we? And people will crack up, because they know. They kind of know. We live on Crown land and so on. But I'm going to break down a little article here from the National Post from October 4th, 2009 here. Feds consider letting police conduct random DUI tests. This one just popped up on InfoWars recently because somebody found it and said, hey, lots of people who go there would want to see this. Quote, the Federal Justice Department is considering a new law to randomly force drivers to take roadside breath tests regardless of whether police suspect they've been drinking, CanWest News Service has learned. Random breath testing, if adopted, would replace Canada's 40-year-old legislation on impaired driving, which dictates that police can only administer breathalyzer tests if they have a reasonable suspicion of drunk driving. Oh, that's good. Now they can do it without a reasonable suspicion of drunk driving. Absolutely insane. So there are civil libertarians against this. In the States, they're talking about now taking blood from people with respect to drunk driving. Just saw an article on that, you know, here online as well from Paul Joseph Watson at InfoWars.com. And so, yes, they are trying to draw blood randomly from people, all in the name of insanity. Why? Because of death and taxes, folks. Only two things in life that are certain, death and taxes. Death because God wants it, and taxes because the Queen wants them, in a nutshell. And just an article by... an article from the UK Daily Mail read by Alan Watt, Mr. Alan Watt at CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, talks about how they're going to levy a new tax on everybody to help pay for the care of the elderly. And there's no analysis of what they've been doing with our money so far. Why are we broke? And so on. But again, this is being pushed forward. And yet there's also a parallel track there where the people of a certain generation, the baby boomer generation, we're all being told to think they had it good. They had the good life. And we'll never have that again. And it's their fault that we're in debt. And it's their fault that the earth is melting or freezing or whatever they decide to say this year with respect to climate change. You know, whatever future prediction they make, it's either going to get really hot or really cold. There's either going to be a bunch of hurricanes or a bunch of tornadoes. There's going to be some earthquakes. Who knows? Either way, it's your fault because of your carbon footprint. And so they're blaming the consumer lifestyle that was enjoyed by our fathers and built by their forefathers, and now being taken away from us as we speak, unless we speak up, which is the key, and which is what we try and do here on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays here on CKLN Rude Awakening. As your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna, I definitely want to get you folks out there doing something. If you're not scrapping on these issues, if you're not talking mess about these issues, you ought to start, because you live here too, and we all notice some of the changes that are happening. It says here, Toronto should secede, a progressive conservative member of the Ontario legislature, Mr. Bill Murdoch from Bruce Gray Owen Sound. Sound has suggested this. So definitely some interesting secession talk there. I don't know about secession, but we would need to secede if we control where we live. If all of our tax money wasn't stolen by the feds, laundered into secret programs and the war in Afghanistan and crony capitalism and corporate tax breaks, while we get the crumbs back here and we get things like, shh, there's no internet, as the feds quietly pinch programs used by libraries and other small groups here on in the metro. Historic mansion to be saved. Ottawa announces $2 million grant to restore the O'Connor home. So we care about old buildings more than young people here in this country. Definitely got to figure that out. And they'll say, what? You want the building to be destroyed? You want history to be this and that? People will actually make arguments for this. Well, let's put this, let's make one thing clear, folks. The agenda that's being pushed right now by the New World Order is an anti-human agenda. Even the cracking down on smoking, forcing, you know, hospital patients to stand outside hospitals in their nightgowns, with carrying, you know, IV drip, coat racks with wheels. You know, that's insane. You could build a smoking room inside these hospitals. These hospitals are constantly massively expanding. You know, and they shouldn't be given credit for that. We shouldn't want bigger hospitals. We should want better health care that reduces the size of hospitals and need for hospitals. We shouldn't want more cops. We should want more, better policing, and better policing decisions made at the top that allow their cops to go nuts on the real criminals, that decrease the amount of crime, the amount of police we need. So yeah, and again, that's in the metro here. It says here, Loblaw is listed in Listeria lawsuit. Now, keep in mind, Senator Elaine McCoy was fighting against Bill C-6, a bill to restrict our access to vitamins, herbs, supplements, and natural health products, because Big Pharma side wants it under control of the UN Codex Alimentarius guidelines. Was kind of in trouble for a while, but Harper's appointed a bunch of new senators, so we may have enough to push this through unless we make some noise and stop it. But look up Bill C-6 and look into Canadian efforts fighting that. Senator Elaine McCoy says the health department wants all these crack house style regulation powers to enforce against natural health food providers, and yet they didn't implement any of the 57 recommendations made to them during the last listeriosis outbreak a couple years ago. So definitely keep that in mind. Did refer to this yesterday, but I'm trying to fly through a bunch of local news here. No charges in leasing scandal. Ontario Provincial Police say they won't lay any charges in a computer leasing scandal at Toronto City Hall 5 years ago. Oh, good to know. Took them 5 years to figure that out. Insane. Home prices will keep rising, says a report here by the RBC Economics. I'm sure they're responsible for making a few home loans, or at least one branch of the Royal Bank of Canada is. Yes, they are trying to sell us the home loan fantasy, but keep in mind, folks, the Yanks were sold that too. You can't sit on your front lawn and crack open a six-pack while your neighbor's house is on fire. What's happening there? You can now find homes in Detroit for $500 if you're so inclined, and foreign investors are buying up huge blocks of property across the U.S. because everything's gotten so cheap. We're about a year behind them, thanks to our system here. Although, with our mind control, if we don't talk some mess, we're going to get there in a year, or perhaps even sooner. Catching you with germs. Horatio Kane, shake your hands with a new clue. And it says here, there's hundreds of varieties of new germs. We're getting ads out there teaching us how to wash our hands, how to ride escalators, infantilizing us, turning us into children. Broke down our culture creation industry as well. Women going in for butt-making bigger surgery, to illegal plastic surgeons and having to go to a hospital for it. These are the things we're told to focus on, and so if I do sound like a whack job saying, no, wait a minute, there are rich and powerful people that are messing with us, we've all kind of figured that out, you know, we have to do something about it, but it's my prerogative to do that as a free person in this free culture. Don't take away my free speech, I won't take away yours, in fact I'm going to encourage it, especially on these matters. But that's enough for me, folks. Hope you enjoyed flying through the show today. Definitely going to shout out a few websites for you. With respect to news in general, definitely check out Infowars.com. Great articles on fluoride now. They're not saying Chinese fluoride is bad for us because it's tainted with other stuff. Well, all fluoride's bad for us. We at TorontoTrueSeekers.com, another site to shout out, are going to try and get that out of our water supply very soon, working with other groups. So Infowars.com overall, naturalnews.com for health. trendsresearch.com for wealth information. And locally, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, planning for big things in the warm weather. Going to definitely put out tons of little pieces of paper and DVDs to make sure people know what they need to know. PressForTruth.ca, ConspiracyCulture.com, TheFreedomLink.org are great sites to check out. CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. Alan Watt gives you an amazing philosophical overview of the news, so when you walk around, you can kind of see what he's talking about by seeing where you are. As Mr. Watt has said, even squirrels notice changes in their environment to survive. If they're on their way to where they get nuts and they see a giant tractor there, they'll stop for a sec and take a look at it and figure out, is that thing going to eat me? What's it going to do? And they'll try and understand that change before just accepting it. We need to do the same. But this has been your edition of Rude Awakening for the 16th of March, 2010. Mr. Colin Smith is up next with 4 hours of jazz, taking you one flight up. I'm going to leave you with Mr. Axl Rose and the new Guns N' Roses and the new album Chinese Democracy. This song is called Better. And basically, the hook is, no one ever told me when I was alone, they just thought I'd know better. Let's change a culture that leaves people to fend for themselves when we all know better.